In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you as we start this new month, this new week. And as always, we like to start off our day by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church, and Mary is also the mother of each and every one of us. Also, we pray that beautiful prayer at the conclusion of the Holy Rosary. We pray to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's start off this new month honoring Mary in a special way by praying the prayer that she loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's lift our gaze in our mind and our heart to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many different titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. He's also known as our Consoler. In the work of our growth in holiness, he's known as the Sanctifier. To sanctify means to make holy. Holy Spirit is our interior master or teacher. St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, he says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans. So that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to accompany us and humbly beg for his presence and his inspiration. That he would enlighten our minds and set our hearts on fire with love of God. As we pray together, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Well, Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family. Good to be with all of you. And as always, I'd like to encourage you by this, that I will pray for you in a special way, and I'll pray for you in a special way in the greatest of all prayers. And the greatest of all prayers is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. My Mass today, I'll place you on the altar and beg for the following graces. I'd like to pray that in this Easter season in which we're meditating upon the Acts of the Apostles, known also as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, that we would be open and docile to the workings and the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray that we would be open and docile to the Holy Spirit. And to say this prayer, come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Next, I'd like to pray in a special way for all of your family members. All your family members. For their sanctification and salvation. Pray especially for family members that are not close to God, that they would return. It's never too late. Let's pray for them. Place them on the altar and lift them on high in the greatest miracle, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. My last intention will be, I'd like to pray in a special way for those who will be dying today. Within the next 24 hours. The most important moment in our lives is the moment that we will die. And that will determine our destiny for all eternity, either salvation or damnation. There's no other possibility. Pray for those who are dying today that they would open up their hearts to the infinite love of God, to the infinite love of God. So, my friends, lot to cover today. The church has certain devotions and traditions, and I'd like to go through them and focus on the month that we're entering right now. Well, December we honor Our Lady Guadalupe and, of course, the birthday of Christ. Usually February and March and sometimes a part of April we're into the holy season of Lent, which culminates in Easter. The month of June is traditionally known as the month of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. The greatest symbol of love, the heart of Christ pierced with a lance. Then we have the month of July is the month in which we honor the most precious blood of Jesus. That's right, the most precious blood of Jesus. And then the month of October, the month of October, is a month in which we honor and try to pray the Most Holy Rosary. Father Patrick Peyton says the family that prays together stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. November traditionally is the month in which we honor or we pray for the souls in purgatory. It's a good idea to pray for the souls in purgatory, not to jump the gun and say that they're in heaven. We hope they are. When I do funeral masses, I say we hope, we have hope that that person is in heaven, but only God knows. Even though my father died 7 years ago and a very good man, I still will pray for him and his salvation until I die. Only God knows. Only God knows. And that leads us to this new month. Today we enter into the month of May. The month of May, and this is the month in which we honor Mary. April showers bring May flowers, and the May flowers would be the gifts that we want to offer to Mary. Just over the weekend, I wrote another blog article, and it's this, May, Mary's month, and our love for her. Every day of May, offer Mary a gesture of love. So in this article that I wrote, and will be posted in a relatively short time, hopefully it'll come out in Catholic Exchange, is I was inspired by St. John Bosco, as often I am, because St. John Bosco tried to instill in the young people, a great love for Mary. Great love for Mary. Concretely, May, the month of Mary, and John Bosco had great devotion to Our Lady, Help of Christians. He would encourage the boys to offer some type of prayer or sacrifice to Mary every day in the month of May. So I'm going to be doing that every day in the month of May, I'm going to make a suggestion for you. Basically taken from my article that I wrote, and I'll post my article for you in time. First suggestion I like to make is your morning offering. Your morning offering. So what I mean by the morning offering is the following. Soon as you get up in the morning, the first thing you should do as you get up in the morning is to offer yourself to God. To offer yourself to God through Mary. So start off your day with Mary. Starting off your day with Mary, giving yourself to Jesus through Mary, is a great start. Then you've got, as they say in Spanish, Santa Maria del Camino. We invite Mary to accompany us all the days of our life. All right. What a great way to start off the month of May by celebrating the memory of Saint Joseph. So we're going to talk today about Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph. In the church calendar, my friends, good Saint Joseph is celebrated liturgically two times. We celebrate the solemnity of Saint Joseph usually in the Lenten season, and it's March 19th. This would be the solemnity of Saint Joseph, the husband of Mary. Also, at least implicitly, we celebrate the presence of Saint Joseph in the Christmas season, in Advent leading up to Christmas. Then the next liturgical celebration of Saint Joseph is May 1st. And May 1st would be today we celebrate under the title, Saint Joseph the Worker. A little bit of history. It was Pope Pius XII that established his day to counteract May Day of the Communists. Communists would place May 1st as their day of work, in which their work would have no relationship to God at all, just working for the state. So Pope Pius XII established May 1st as Saint Joseph the Worker, May Day, to give a supernatural character to work under the patronage of great Saint Joseph. So today, we honor Saint Joseph the Worker. Saint Joseph the Worker. There's really so much that can be said about Saint Joseph because he's such a great saint. And before getting into Saint Joseph, the worker, and her own work, not that we're called to classify the saints, but this has to be said. using an image of Hans von Balthasar, one of the greatest theologians last century. He says, when we look up into the sky, we gaze into the firmament. We can see the stars that are speckling the firmament. Some stars that have a greater glimmer, gleam, shining force over others. And von Balthasar says those stars in the firmament are the saints. We're called to be one day one of those stars, glimmering, shining in God's firmament. But all those stars, Mary is the Stella Maris. Mary is the star of the sea, the brightest star. Mary is also known as Stella Matutina, the morning star. Mary is known as the star of the new evangelization, John Paul II. But then next to Mary, the great star of the sea, star of the morning, we have Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph is a bright, burning star in God's firmament. Why the greatness of Saint Joseph? Well, theologically, perhaps you've heard these theological terms. And they are latria, hyperdulia, protodulia, and dulia. It's good to know a little bit of theology and some theological Greek terminology. So latria refers to our relationship to God. Our relationship to God. To God, we offer the cult of latria, which means adoration. So we praise, we adore, we worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and earth and beneath the earth bows. We praise Jesus Christ. We praise God the Father. We praise the Holy Spirit. We praise them. So St. Joseph, rather, after latria, we have hyperdulia, and that refers to Mary. And that means Mary has the highest degree of honor and reverence. Then protodulia is St. Joseph, which means he's the first in veneration. Then dulia, we honor and we have veneration for the saints. So St. Joseph, protodulia, is in a category by himself. He's in a category by himself. In a category by himself. Now, one of the reasons why is because the specific mission or vocation that God entrusted to glorious Saint Joseph. Saint Bernardine of Siena, a Franciscan doctor of the Church, as well as Francis de Sales and Saint Alphonsus, agree on this theological concept that when God endows a certain individual with a certain responsibility, then God will always give that individual the corresponding sufficient graces to carry out that responsibility in the best way possible. So, for example, many of you have chosen the married life. That means if you're married in the Church, you have the sacrament of holy matrimony. That gives you the grace to be faithful to each other until death do you part, to be open to life, procreation, to have children, and to educate those children in the fear of the Lord and the love of God. I don't have that because I'm not married. But I'm given the grace to celebrate Mass, to confess, to preach and teach, because that comes with the terrain of being a priest and having holy orders. In a parallel sense, we can apply this to good Saint Joseph. Good Saint Joseph was entrusted by God the Father himself, whom he represents, by the way, with a double mission, or even a double vocation, you might say. A double mission, a double vocation. And it would be the following. Good Saint Joseph was called to be the husband of Mary, he was also called to be the adopted or foster father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because Jesus only has one natural father, and that's God the Father in heaven. But his adoptive father would be good Saint Joseph. That being the case, to carry out such a sublime mission, to carry out such a sublime mission, good Saint Joseph was endowed with extraordinary graces. Imagine to be called to be the husband of the Queen of the Universe. What a sublime mission. And he cherished Mary. Of course, both of them, inspired by the Holy Spirit, had made a vow of virginity. Both of them inspired by the Holy Spirit to make that commitment, and God gave them special graces for that, of course. But Saint Joseph cherished and loved Mary as his wife. And he was the most faithful of all husbands. But even going beyond Saint Joseph being the husband of Mary, Saint Joseph was also the foster father of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. How extraordinary that Jesus called him Abba, which means Father. Jesus loved him very tenderly, and Saint Joseph loved his son. And Jesus was submissive to Saint Joseph, obeying his words and his commands. We see this when Jesus was lost for 3 days and found in the temple. Mary said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been searching for you in sorrow." Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I had to be about my father's business?" They did not understand this. And it says that Jesus went down with them, and he obeyed them, and he grew in wisdom and knowledge and grace before God and man. So Saint Joseph had a key role in the human formation of Jesus Christ. Before entering into the topic of Saint Joseph as worker, I'd like to highlight also an extraordinary responsibility that Saint Joseph carried out to perfection. What I'm saying now has always impressed me very much, but Saint Joseph, given by Saint Teresa of Avila, is known as the master of the interior life. That's one of the specific titles that Saint Teresa of Avila, woman doctor of the church, attributes to Saint Joseph. And when we say master of the interior life, that specifically mostly means his life of union with God through prayer. Saint Joseph obviously was a man of deep prayer, and he can help us to go deeper in our prayer life. Let's pray to Saint Joseph to help us to go deeper in our prayer life, to appreciate and love prayer all the more. Then, Jesus is the Son of God made man, but Saint Joseph actually taught Jesus how to pray. That is really extraordinary if you think about it. I repeat, that Saint Joseph taught Jesus how to pray. Wow. It staggers the imagination if you really think about it. Because Jesus, a little bit of Christology now, Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He is the Son of God made man. He became man. That's called the incarnation. So as God, Jesus could not improve because God is perfect. However, as man, says he grew in wisdom, knowledge, and grace before God as man, and man, Jesus in his human nature had to learn. He had to learn how to walk. He had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to work. And even on a human level, Jesus had to learn how to pray. So who taught Jesus to say, "Abba, Father," both Saint Joseph and Mary? Who taught Jesus to pray that psalm that we prayed yesterday on Good Shepherd Sunday? Who taught Jesus to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want"? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? All of these human qualities, all these human qualities were communicated to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the instrumentality of Mary, his mother, as well as Saint Joseph, his foster father. So hopefully you all have devotion to Saint Joseph, but this is a day in which we want to renew our devotion and go deeper in our trust and confidence in good Saint Joseph. So let's move into the liturgical celebration of Saint Joseph today. May is the month of Mary, but also May 1st is the day we celebrate Saint Joseph the Worker. Let us turn to Saint Joseph and with a psalm pray this: give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. That's right. It's one of the Psalms. Give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. That's a beautiful psalm, isn't it? Give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. So Saint Joseph the Worker, among many things, he teaches us, Saint Joseph teaches us the innate value of work, the importance of work, the sanctification of work, and the redeeming value of work, and how we should all appreciate work. Whatever size or form or manner that we work, we should all appreciate the gift of work that God has given to us. And if we don't really appreciate the gift of work, this is the day in which we want to lift our gaze to Saint Joseph and beg him for the grace to work for the honor and glory of God, to work methodically, orderly, and systematically, to do our work well. We have the biblical passage taken from the book of Genesis, after the original sin committed by Adam and Eve, that God meted out on the woman, the man, and the serpent. Three different chastisements. On the woman to bring forth children in pain, the importance of childbearing and being a mother. But to Adam, God said to him, Adam, you shall earn your bread by the sweat of your brow, meaning by work. And to the serpent to crawl on the ground and to eat dust. So there's a clear reference to the importance of work. Let me give you another biblical passage, and then let's go to Saint Joseph, to the carpenter shop, and let's try to accompany Saint Joseph and Jesus in the carpenter shop. and pray that by contemplating this day in the life of Saint Joseph and Jesus in the carpenter shop, that this would be an encouragement for us to be good workers. To be good workers. Saint Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, perhaps the first letter written by Saint Paul, had to write them a letter of exhortation to work. Because many of them were convinced with the idea that the end of the world was imminent during their lifetime. Consequently, many of them decided not to work. They were just sitting, waiting for the end of the world to come. And of course, it hasn't happened. 2,000 years have transpired since, and the Jehovah Witnesses have predicted the end of the world more than once. So St. Paul sent a very sharp exhortation saying, you got to work. So much so, he said, that if you don't work, then you're not gonna, you shouldn't eat. I say, man, not to use your cell phone. St. Paul says, he who does not work should not eat. There's a Jewish proverb that says, the father that does not teach his son to work teaches him to be a thief. It's a good one. There's another proverb. What is it better, to give the fish to the individual or to give him the fishing pole? Give him the fish, he's going to be coming back tomorrow for another fish and bread. To give him a fishing pole, he's going to become independent and be able to work and provide for himself. So St. Paul insists to the Thessalonians, and as well as to us, he who does not work should not eat. So let's go with St. Joseph. Let's imagine we can utilize our contemplative training that I've tried to give to you, utilizing your contemplative vision, to imagine this. A typical day in the carpenter shop with Saint Joseph and Jesus. Parallel to this, you can imagine a typical day in Nazareth with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Especially you homemakers, Mary is your model. And Saint Joseph also. Now, when did Jesus start to work with Saint Joseph in the carpenter shop? We don't know exactly when. However, in the Jewish religion, you have a celebration of initiation to adulthood called the Bar Mitzvah. Maybe you've heard of that before. The Bar Mitzvah. And technically that's when the young man is considered to be an adult. You're going to probably laugh when I tell you the age. It was only when he was 12 years old. We don't see our 12-year-old son or grandson to being a real adult when he's only 12. But back then, he was considered ready to work. So we don't know exactly when Jesus would have gone with St. Joseph to the workshop, but probably when he was 12 or 13. a young lad. You could even imagine this would be a beautiful contemplation. And it would be the first day that Jesus goes with Saint Joseph to the workshop. This indeed could be a marvelous contemplation in which you're utilizing your imagination how it would have been. Imagine Jesus getting up early, Mary preparing them a very simple and frugal breakfast, Mary saying goodbye to them, giving them a hug, Jesus and Joseph walking side by side to the carpenter shop, Mary contemplating them as they go off to work, them arriving at the carpenter shop, Jesus following in the footsteps of Saint Joseph, Saint Joseph arriving at the carpenter shop, opening up the door. As they both enter, perhaps offering a prayer to the Heavenly Father, that the Heavenly Father would bless their work. Perhaps praying that psalm that I just prayed with you earlier. Give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. Perhaps they raised their minds to Heavenly Father, prayed in silence, and they ended by saying, Heavenly Father, give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. Then, perhaps they dust off the carpenter table, and Saint Joseph introduces Jesus to his work as a carpenter. Later on in his public life, Jesus would be known as the carpenter's son, the son of Joseph. So Joseph introduces Jesus to his work as a carpenter. We can imagine St. Joseph, perhaps the first day, instructing Jesus on the type of work that he'd be carrying out, pointing out that we work with wood, you know, we make tables, different size and shapes. We also make chairs, smaller chairs and medium-sized chairs and bigger chairs. We also make doors. We also work on house structures. Sometimes we repair broken items that people bring to us. In other words, Saint Joseph would have given to Jesus the whole gamma, the whole specter, the whole panorama of the different artifacts that they would be working on. And Jesus would be listening very attentively, understanding the words of Saint Joseph, absorbing his words. And Jesus would be a very quick worker and learner. This is what he would grow experientially on his human in his human nature. Joseph would be an expert teacher and Jesus an expert listener and disciple. Then, of course, Jesus would be the great master. But St. Joseph was his teacher. Then after explaining to Jesus the different artifacts that they would construct, perhaps then Joseph would point out to Jesus the carpenter table. Maybe there was one for him and another one for Jesus. They would be working side by side. And then St. Joseph would point out to Jesus the different instruments of work that they'd be using. By the way, if you look in the background of my studio here, here we have a picture of St. Joseph the worker. He's dressed as a worker. He has a hammer. In this one, we have the little child Jesus, who's probably only 2 years old or three. He's actually picking up a big nail. Of course, that is symbolic of how Jesus would die by being nailed to the cross. This is a modern depiction of St. Joseph that many people like. So what would be the different instruments of work that St. Joseph would be utilizing and presented to Jesus on the first day of work? Well, as we just mentioned, there would be the hammer. There'd be the hammer. Then there would be the saw. That's right, there would be the saw. Then there would be the lathe. Not being too much of a carpenter myself, I'm sure there'd be many other instruments, but obviously they did not have electric saws or electric instruments, so the work would be much more demanding than, say, a modern carpenter, in the sense that the modern technological tools were not available. Then you might imagine, after St. Joseph presents the workshop to Jesus, the tables, the work tables, the different artifacts that they would be making, and the different tools that they would be utilizing, then perhaps St. Joseph said, okay, why don't we work together? And he said to Jesus, well, one of the neighbors asked us to make just a small table. So St. Joseph tells Jesus to bring a square piece of wood. St. Joseph asks Jesus to staple the wood, and St. Joseph cuts a square. Then he tells Jesus to bring four different legs. And you can see St. Joseph pounding the nail into the square piece of wood over the leg. He does it twice. And then what St. Joseph says is, Jesus, you have done the first two legs. St. Joseph gives him the hammer and the nail, and St. Joseph holds the nail and has Jesus pound the hammer into the nail, does it perfectly. And then St. Joseph holds a second nail and Jesus pounds that in. So there you have the table. But the wood has to be sanded down and a luster, kind of like a varnish, is placed on the top of it. And it's a beautifully made table. Shortly after, the customer comes in and St. Joseph presents the table to the customer and they give both Joseph and Jesus the fee. And St. Joseph actually gives him a little bit of money back because he knows that this man is a poor man. I really believe that this would happen. Sometimes they would actually say, you keep a little bit more of that because your wife has been sick. This is the way they would have worked. Not simply to make money, but to glorify God the Father. And for the sake of the common good. So my friends, I hope that you have profited from my conversation today in honor of St. Joseph and Mary and Jesus. So let's turn to St. Joseph. And he always brings us to Mary and Christ. And let's beg St. Joseph for the grace to work well. To work with Jesus Christ. To work for the honor and glory of God. For the sake of the common good. And for our own sanctification and salvation. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling, St. Paul says. We invite you all to share our conversation with all of your friends. Some of you have many friends. Share our conversation with all of your friends. And I'd like to give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.